page 213.
One five?
Yes.
116. Yeah. Thank you. I have to draw your attention once again to book 1-2 and book 1-3. Book 1-2 says, yoga is achieved through the subjugation, that is healing of the psychic nature, and the restraint, that is calming of the chitta, the thinking instrument. And straight away Patanjali says in 1-3, when this has been accomplished, the yogi knows himself as he is in his reality. It means that what is stated in 2, if you can accomplish that, you become a yogi. The very fact that such a statement is made gives importance to 1-2. Book 1-2. Last time I gave you, a note on psychic nature. Psychic nature is the total complex system of the human being. We know a human being as a physical body brain system. The human being is a total complex of physical body brain system, astral body manas system, plus mental body buddhi system. Not only it's a collection of three things, there is an intercommunication between these three systems. Not only intercommunication, but how best to cooperate between them. Such a total human being is what God and nature intended, and not a piece of flesh. You understand? How to know this total complex system, how to bring in communication between these three systems, and how to bring in cooperation between these three systems is the basis of Yoga Sutra. If you can do all this, well, you reach the status of a yogi. If this is that important, then we have to give all our heart and soul in finding out how to perform this miracle. How to be a superhuman being. A yogi can be translated as a superhuman being from an ordinary human being. Today, we are not even ordinary human beings. Today we are super animals in human form. Today we are super animals in human form. If you don't believe that, see what is happening in India, in Bangladesh, in Pakistan, in Europe, in Africa. Look anywhere you like and you see the specimen of the super animal that is the human being. We were always at the level of the animal, always, from the day 4 million BC. Unfortunately, this little brain, this catabox, became too intelligent. And from using a stick to using the atomic bomb became easy. The animal remained same, super wild animal. So, this is not done, if this is not accomplished, 1,000 years later, 5,000 years later, 10,000 years later, this super animal, that is a human being, will become so wild, it will start eating animals, alive. That is the only way out. And to this super animal, very soon, all the religions will not appeal. All the fear of all the religions, God, heaven, hell, will not appeal. Because it is becoming so intelligent that no more any fright, any hope will keep this animal in control. All the philosophies of the world put together will only confuse this animal. And unless there is a practical way out, this human being will be listed among those wild animals that are in danger of being extinct. And nature will have to do that. Very soon this wild animal will be extinct. Because if it goes the way it is going today, for the last 500 years especially, even God and nature is fighting. How to make this wild animal take interest in Yoga Sutra is a miracle by itself. Because you come here and gather here, because I speak to you like a tape recorder, that does not mean that you and I are not included amongst those dangerous wild animals. Understand? Therefore, let us pay very great attention to what Patanjali has to say, because if there is any hope, it is here, in the sutras. Because only the sutras give you practical way, practical method that can make you much more human beings than what we are today, all of us. What does he say? When this has been accomplished, the yogi knows himself as he is in reality. That is, his essential and fundamental nature stands out supremely. Many of you would therefore conclude in your mind that if this body-brain system were not there, the astral-mana system may be more human. But the next astral-mana system is a wild animal endowed with psychic powers. So, instead of using the atomic bomb, this animal will use psychic powers. So, not only we have to leave behind the physical animal, we have to leave behind the astral animal part of the human being and proceed to the third path, the mental body buddhi system. That is why in the Shastras this body brain system is not used, these words are not used. Each system is given a name. Nirmanakaya, Sambhogakaya, Dharmakaya. And this Nirmanakaya and Sambhogakaya are purely wild animals. The third one, as I just said, the mental body buddhi system, which is termed Dharmakaya. Then one becomes a human. So if you have any hope of becoming a human being tomorrow, day after tomorrow, next year, 5 years later, I will not urge you to believe in that. Nevertheless, there is no other way to go to the stage of Dharmakaya except through the wild life stage. Do you know how wildlife is maintained these days? The idea of the zoo is not there. Very natural surroundings are given in such a way that with all the liberty, the wild animals cannot go beyond. So nature, knowing this wild animal, the human being, has given a belt of gravity beyond which this animal for some time will not be able to go out and disturb better society. We are in a wildlife preserve. Nature knows it. That is why we are isolated so thoroughly. But for 5,000 light years all around us, we will find any hope. And 5,000 light years for science, for some time to come, is very difficult to cross over. I am not discouraging you. But I must let you know the texture you are made of. If the plane has to rise maximum 1,000 feet in air, it cannot become a spaceship. And a spaceship that we know cannot go beyond 25,000 miles an hour. After 20 years it may go at 60,000 miles an hour, but that would be maximum. And that would mean that the 5,000 light years all around us will remain a huge distance cut off. Well, I have not come here to tell you to go home and do nothing, because it's not possible. I want to tell you that this is very difficult. And when somebody tells me that I've been doing this for so many years, ...25,000 years is not even one-hundredth of a moment on cosmic scale. So, after 25,000 years, if you come to me and tell me you have not even made your attempts of 1/100 of a moment on cosmic scale, and the entire universe is based on cosmic scale, and our human scale nobody cares for. Our yards and miles and kilometers are never considered. Our months and years are never considered. Because if you leave this earth, there is no month, no year. So, make up your mind. Are you going to make up your mind whether you are going to stick to this for say 50,000 years, 100,000 years? If you make up your mind to do that, then it is worthwhile. I am holding out no easier promise. Understand? Or you can go to other places where some master does this and the pupil comes to know everything, or his kundalini is awakened, you can go there. But let me assure you, there is no such way. No, whatsoever. So let us plot from book 1, 16 onwards. Have we done 1:16? Or we have not? Pardon? Okay, we take up again 1:16. The consummation of these non-attachments results in an exact knowledge of the spiritual man when liberated from the qualities of guna. In 1:15 we read, non-attachment is freedom from longing for all objects of desire, either earthly or traditional, either here or hereafter. Non-attachment. What is non-attachment? What is non-attachment? May I know? What is non-attachment? Tell me something. What is non-attachment? What I just told you, we are cut off by a zone 5,000 light years. If you go in this zone, the minute you leave this handkerchief, it floats, goes away. Non-attachment. If you remove your buttons, the shirt flies away. Nothing remains attached to you. You understand? Like that, if all your possessions, physical, emotional, mental, if they just fly away as if in space, where there is no gravity and you are there alone, naked, that is non-attachment. What's the idea? But in that space, you don't give up anything. There's nothing to give up. In that space, nothing will remain with you. This will fly, everything will fly away. Because the state of being there, nothing remains attached to you. So when you reach such a stage here in this physical life, when you reach such a stage in this physical life, mentally, emotionally and physically, then nothing can stay with you, everything goes away. Neither you want it, nor you don't want it. But it simply is not with you. You are alone and naked. No father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, children, nothing. And there is no fuss of giving up. I am going to an ashram, I give up everything. No fuss. All these things must fly away. And you must fly away from them. When that is a natural state. As if you are in deep space, everything is away. There is no gravity. When the gravity of attachment is not there, nothing can remain attached to you. There is no philosophy involved at that stage. nothing is attached to you. You are attached to nothing and there is no philosophy about it. If you can be like that, without involving any scriptures, religion, philosophy, that is called non-attachment. In this life, in this physical life, not only the physical object, but your emotions, your mental gymnastics, everything must detach from you. Then you are, as grown up people, more innocent than newborn baby. That is non-attachment. I have no other wrong ideas about non-attachment. Not giving up wife and children, it's not giving up money here and there. No! You should give up everything. You must give up yourself. There is no attachment to your own self. That is non-attachment. If on the solid earth you can live as if you are living 5,000 light years away from this earth, that is non-attachment. Where, if you dip your finger in ink, the ink falls away. Nothing is attached. And you have a happy face, not a long face of a philosopher. You must smile and thank God that everything is leaving you. That is non-attachment. So, when Patanjali says, non-attachment is the freedom from longing for all objects of desire, either earthly or traditional, either here or hereafter. There is no involvement. There is no involvement. When you are mentally poised, when you are emotionally poised for such a state of living, mind you, I have never whispered a word which signifies that you run away from your duties and obligations. I have not mentioned that. But even these duties and obligations have to detach themselves from you. Detach themselves from you. You are not running away from them. When this state of living on this earth takes place, that is called non-attachment. Get some idea? Now we go to 16. The consummation of this non-attachment, when perfection of this type of non-attachment is reached, then what happens? Results in an exact knowledge of the spiritual man when liberated from the qualities of guna. Patanjali may be a sage, he is a rakshasa. He says one thing and yet contradicts another thing. After giving you a total definition of non-attachment, giving you a hope to see your own divine self, he then says, when liberated from the qualities of guna, which is not possible, which is not possible. So you are again back to square one, where you were. You bring about the state of non-attachment, you are ready to see your spiritual self, and then he adds quietly, when liberation, the qualities are gone. If you cannot liberate yourself from your own shadow, how are you going to liberate yourself from the three gunas? He does not say tamas guna. He doesn't say rajas. He says from the qualities of gunas, meaning all three. And if you liberate yourself from sattva, what will happen? He hasn't mentioned tamaguna. So now how shall we understand this sutra? We bring about total non-attachment. We are ready for a darshan of the divine fragment and find that we have not yet achieved the possibility of being free from guna. Then what happens? But to understand this, last 5-6 words, it requires a little deeper understanding. You are free from gunas when they are in balance. We have always talked of gunas in balance. We have never said there should be no guna, not zero. There is a balance of guna. And when they balance each other, they negate each other, and you are free from the oppressive rule. So you have to do what? A. Come to the stage of total non-attachment. Then go last. B. Bring about a balance of qualities of gunas. And then be ready. 3. For the divine fragment. Not only he says darshan, he says, what does he say? The exact knowledge of the spiritual man. He doesn't talk about darshan, no. A darshan is hallucination. A darshan is hallucination. Anything like God, anything like divine fragment of soul has no form, no texture, no color, no light, no darkness, no nothing. It has nothing because the qualities are balanced. You can't describe that, God or soul or spirit, because the qualities are balanced. And when the qualities are balanced, there is no form, there is no light, there is no awareness, there is no speech. So where is darshan? Darshan is an hallucination. But he doesn't talk about darshan. He says the exact knowledge of the spiritual man. When can I have exact knowledge of anything? When I become that thing. I can have exact knowledge of anything when I become that thing. If I want to know what a dog is, I must be a dog. And if I want to know what darshan of Atma is, real darshan, I must become the Atma. And to become the Atma, the divine fragment, I must melt my three coverings, physical, astral, mental. When I become divine fragment itself, I know exactly what divine fragment is, not otherwise. Not by going to any school or college will I ever know it. Going to any ashram will I ever know what the divine fragment is. I will only know what the divine fragment is when I become the divine fragment. So these are not simple English words. the exact knowledge of the spiritual man. I become the spiritual man. You become your own divine fragment. No more you are in any one of the three bodies, all the bodies put together. Because they are mere shadows of the divine fragment. And these shadows have unbalance, these shadows have attachment, these shadows have all the weaknesses, not I, when I am the divine fragment. And if I become the divine fragment, I have the exact knowledge of divine fragment, not till then. So now you see that in two, when he promises that if you do this, in three you become a yogi. He has used the word yogi, master. It means when I become myself the divine fragment. If I become the divine fragment, what can be attached to me? Nothing. And if nothing is attached to me and I need nothing, where do I need the qualities themselves? I am free from bodies, I am free from qualities, I am free from any type of attachment, because my ultimate aim is to become by right what I am, and that is divine fragment. If till such time I am satisfied as to what I am, then I will remain what I am, the shadow. Till then. You get my point? That means when you are absolutely dissatisfied with what you are, when you will cry about what you are, that you don't want to remain what you are, then warm tears will rush down your eyes. Then you will be ready to become the divine fragment, not still. Unless tears of great wanting will not rush out, nothing will happen. It is said, Ramakrishna, he had no mother. He was 8 years old. And one day he was crying, sitting underneath a tree, banging his head against a stone and said, I want my mother. If the world has mothers, why can't I have a mother? That yearning, if you can ask for your divine fragment, you will know what the divine fragment you are. Ramakrishna did not become Ramakrishna for nothing. From his very childhood, he was pouring out these tears. And that is why he reached somewhere. See? By coming here, by listening to me, going home and forgetting all about it, will not take you anywhere. No. This urgent, very sincere crying is not there. Nothing will happen. Let me tell you, nothing will happen. You have to be on fire. Unless internal fire rages in you and you are burning, nothing will happen. This will remain philosophy. This will remain spiritual fiction, nothing more. Again I say, I am not discouraging you to come here. But coming here is not enough. It's not enough. If one of you can tell me that every day he cries 5 minutes at least, to become the divine fragment. I would like to see that hand go off. I don't think there is one hand going up. And literally I have cried from my age of 4. One has to. There is no satisfaction of being anything less than divine fragment. This is very, very satisfying. If you see the last paragraph in 116, you read, knowledge of the spiritual man. What does he say in 116? An exact knowledge of the spiritual man. So he says here, knowledge of the spiritual man is nearly the end of the pursuit of yoga abhyasa. See that? This crying will finally bring you to the last step of yoga. Nothing. The obstacles to soul cognition are bodily disability, mental inertia, wrong questioning, carelessness, laziness, lack of dispassion, erroneous perception, inability to achieve concentration, failure to hold the meditative attitude, one-pointedness, when achieved. What is left? Nothing is left. Everything is said here. That means zero. All this is there, it means zero. We have not begun anything. You get my point? He has left nothing out. If you spend night after night sitting alone quietly without letting your family know and cry for your divine fragment, there is some hope. Not otherwise. You understand? Night after night, if you can cry quietly without letting anyone know in your family, yearning to be your own self, the divine fragment, that all these chains may fall off, then there is some hope for you. If you know all the Vedas by heart, it will not help you. Not help you, otherwise. So what does he say now? Obstacles to soul cognition. Mind you, he's now here about cognition. As earlier stated, exact knowledge of the spiritual man. Only for cognition, these are the obstacles. Cognition means not that I told you that you have a soul, or your religion tells you that you have a soul, or some philosophy tells you that you are a soul. That is not cognition. When you know me very closely for some 20, 30 years, you are about to cognize me. Come to that stage, not the exact knowledge of the spiritual man, to cognize soul. All these is very essential to go for all time. The first is bodily disability. I don't think we have a deaf or mute or blind among selves, isn't it? I'm not talking about this type of disability, physical disability. I'm talking about, or the sutra talks about, this ability of a human being with a beautiful form, without any physical loss of any of the sense organs or limbs, having a beautiful brain. In spite of that, he suffers from bodily disability. If you cannot get up in the morning to do your exercises, it is purely physical disability, added to purely mental inertia. And these are the two obstacles here, bodily disability and mental inertia. Wrong questioning, carelessness, laziness, these are understandable. Lack of dispassion, understandable. Erroneous perception. What is erroneous perception? Erroneous means wrong. And perception meaning seeing and believing. Perception means seeing and believing. We believe that light comes from the sun. It is wrong believing. Light does not come from the sun. Only rays come from the sun and our atmosphere changes it into light. This is called one of the many erroneous perceptions, seeing and believing. Seeing a very beautiful woman and believing she is very good. She may be more dangerous than a cobra. This is seeing and believing. If a man stands before the public, raises his hands, feeds the pigeon, seeing is believing, he is a holy man, he is a spiritual man, he is a good man. He may be a black market. Such are many erroneous perceptions. You might look at me and you might think that I know so much. It is another erroneous perception. This knows everything now. How am I different? This is erroneous perception. To believe that I am a human being is an erroneous perception. If you look through me, very well observing, you might come to the conclusion that I am one of the most dangerous wild animals in human form. These are therefore wrong perceptions, erroneous perceptions. Believing is wrong. Inability to achieve concentration. What is concentration? May I know?